We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. So we thank you for tuning in today. And we do want to say a great big hearty thank you to everyone who called in and participated in the offering last week to help keep the radio station up and running and the Word of God getting out across the airwaves. So thank you very much for tuning in. So tonight at Merritt Assembly of God, we have our Women of Worth Monday night meeting, food service, or they have a potluck that starts at 6:30, and then their meeting starts at 7. Later this week, we're taking our men to a men's conference over in Orlando, and we're real excited about that. Daryl Strawberry is one of the speakers. If you follow Major League Baseball from some years back, he was quite a rising star and has quite the life experience, and has experienced the grace of God. And so he will be sharing his story. And would you join us in praying for men who may be going through some issues that he has previously dealt with, that they too will trust Jesus with all of their heart and their experience, their pain, their hurt, and experience the grace and the love of God. So pray for our men this week. It should be exciting. We're not only taking men, but we've got some of our teenagers that are going, and we're real excited about what that is going to yield. We're in Isaiah chapter 3 in our study through the book of Isaiah right now. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 again. And it says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the skillful artisan and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another and every one by his neighbor. The child will be insolent toward the elder, and the base toward the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, 'You have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power,' in that day he will protest, saying, 'I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people.'" And so last Friday, we started talking a bit about this. And as I was preparing to come in today, I wrote this down: abandoning God's leadership leads to further leadership erosion. If we reject the Lord and his leadership, eventually that is going to trickle down, if you will. It's going to cascade to where there is incompetence at every other level of leadership. That's why we cannot afford to reject God, his principles, and his leadership here in America. It is the principles of God's word, they are going to come to pass. What God says, it's not going to be thwarted, it's not going to be hindered, it is going to be accomplished. And so I need God's leadership. I really do. I need him in my life. I don't see how people survive without the leadership of God. I'm not just talking to you today as a faceless talking head that you might hear on the radio. I have probably done the job that you have done. I have done landscaping. I've hauled hay. I've driven trucks and pulled trailers. I've worked on roofs. I've worked retail. I've worked as a pipe threader and cutter. I've done a lot of different things. I've worked in grocery stores and retail environments, as well as pastoring, selling shoes, management, you name it. And I've pretty much been there. I was in the furniture industry for a while. I'm not just coming to you with theory today. I'm telling you that at every step of the way, you need the leadership of God. However young you can instill this principle into people's lives, the better their lives are going to be. If you realize that you need his leadership in high school, you are going to be more effective as you grow older than other people will be. If we can help you to understand how valuable the leadership of God is in your 20s, your 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s are going to be better because of the leadership of God. We as America, we are seeing what is talked about here in this passage. We're going to see this over and over and again as we go through Isaiah. I'm doing this because I believe that there are principles in the book of Isaiah that are playing out in America right now that we desperately need. We need godly leadership in America once again. And so it goes all the way down to the craftsman and the snake charmer, if you will, people who deal with animals. It goes all the way down to that. You need leadership wherever you're at. I got to thinking about it. We need leadership in our homes. We need leadership in our churches. We need leadership in our businesses. We need leadership. And what happens is when we reject the leadership of God and all of these other layers of leadership fall by the wayside, it creates a leadership void that is talked about here in chapter 4. And instead of leadership from people who have a relationship with God and the wisdom of God operating in their life, society gets flipped on its head. Listen to what it says here in verse 4. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Now, when you look in the Word of God, you'll find a couple of kings in there. One of them, I believe, started ruling at the age of 8, and another one at the age of 12. There was one king that reigned for 52 years. Okay, 52 years. There was another time when somebody tried to overthrow the kingdom of Judah after Jezebel was killed. And the high priest managed to steal away one of the children and keep them alive and kept him hidden and safe until he was old enough that they could come out and say, here's the king. He was just a child. Now, I know that sometimes our politicians act like children, but the New Testament says that you do not want to put a youth in a place that it is going to destroy them. I saw an article recently where they were interviewing a person who had been a very high profile pastor, and then it had a catastrophic collapse. And after being out for a season, he was coming back, and these are the words that he said. He said, "I started too young. I started too young." And you know, I thank God for all of the people that are being reached, but we need to have the proper biblical leadership. Leadership fills a void, and if adults will not step in and be the adult, listen, if you as a parent will not be the parent that God has called you to be, then your children will fill that role. I cannot tell you how many times I have seen families that are dominated by the opinions of 4 and 5 year olds. I'm not talking about in church, sometimes in church, but across society as a whole. Well, I don't want this for dinner. I want that for dinner. You know how it worked when I was growing up? Whatever mom cooked, that was what we got to eat. If we didn't like what mom cooked, then we didn't get to eat. And, you know, I know that, you know, that makes me old. I know that right now in society, children are supposed to be coddled, but I have a different mindset, and that is this. I think my responsibility as a parent was to prepare my children for adulthood. I was supposed to train them up in the fear of the Lord. so that when they are old, they would not depart from it. I'm supposed to train them up in the way that they should go, that they would be like an arrow released from the bow, and they would go with force behind them. They will go with direction. They would go with power, and they would strike their mark. And you cannot do that when you are coddling. And so it says here, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Now, regardless of what you think of, you know, how, what, at what level, what age that makes them, let me tell you what it says here in Isaiah chapter 3, that the result is the people will be oppressed, everyone by another and everyone by his neighbor. Let's stop there for just a minute. It says that whenever there is a void of spiritual leadership, wherever the leadership of God, the sovereignty of God, has been rejected, that children who have very little life experience, that they will rise up and they will be the leaders. And it says, as a result of that, the people will be oppressed. You can see that in the story of Solomon and Rehoboam. Rehoboam came to the throne after Solomon's death, and they said, if you will make the burden easier on the people, that then they will serve you forever. And Rehoboam sought the counsel of the elders, and that's the counsel that he was given. Make, you know, ease the burden on the people, and they will love you forever. They will serve you forever. But then he consulted the rest of the palace royalty, the sophisticated, the mentally incapacitated. They had theory, but they did not have the practical. And so as a result of that, their opinion was different. Their opinion was different. And that was this. They said, make it even harder on them. Make them even harder. Tell them that your little finger is thicker than your father's loin. And so whenever he gave credence to these younger people that were giving him the advice, the people rejected him as their king, parted into two kingdoms, the 10 northern tribes and Judah and Benjamin on the south, that became the nation of Judah. And so as a result of that, there was a rejection. There was an oppression. They said, oppress the people. Show them who's boss. God doesn't want you to show people who's boss. He wants you to demonstrate his leadership in your life. Now, I was at a conference here a couple of weeks ago, and a man said this: any creature that has multiple heads it's not normal. There has to be a flow of leadership. There has to be a flow of leadership. There has to be someone. You know, Harry S. Truman said, the buck stops here. And now, you know, we kind of are raised in a society where it says the buck stops there, and the buck stops over here, and the buck stops there. But the one place it doesn't stop is the buck never stops with me. And I mean, that's where we have come from the 1940s and 50s. To 2016. Nobody wants to take any responsibility. It's mom's fault. It's dad's fault. It's somebody else's fault. There's oppression that's going on. God's not happy about it. But whenever you reject the freedom that comes from God's leadership, the only option you are left with is the bondage that comes from serving the devil. It's the only other option. When you reject the truth, you are left with the lie. When you reject God's freedom, you are left with the devil's bondage. And so it says, everyone by another and everyone his neighbor. So it is, there's going to be problems at home. Listen to this. The child will be insolent toward the elder and the base toward the honorable. And that's what you see, how the young people will reject their parents. They will lash out against them. They will reject their authority. But it really is true that we need to make sure that we respect God's leadership in our lives. the base toward the honorable. When people are behaving in honor, do you actually realize that in some of the superhero movies now, that even though the heroes win in the end, that being a person who respects the rights of others, cares about other people, that is presented as a weakness instead of a strength? That people who want to exploit the crisis for their own advantage, they view that as a weakness. Listen, it takes no special talent to behave like an animal. It doesn't. But it takes the grace of God to live in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to God. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life of holiness. It takes the grace of God to live a life of unconditional love, to be a person of honor. So I encourage you to be that person. And no matter how the rest of society treats you, the scripture says that they are going to think it strange that you do not participate in their debauchery, but don't participate in it anyway. So whenever we reject God's leadership, there is a loss of mature spiritual leadership. There's a vacuum that's created. Children end up filling that void, or people who are adolescent end up filling that void, and they don't have the life experience that tempers their theory. And as a result of that, it results in oppression, and it results in society being flipped upside down to where that which is right is called wrong, and that which is wrong is called right. And then in verse number 6, it creates a desperation for leadership. Oppression suddenly creates a desperation. And it says, when a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power, or literally under your hand. In that day, he will protest, saying, I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people. So they are desperate for leadership. People are desperate for godly leadership. You know, I've told a story one time. I was in the shoe industry, and so that's where I first heard this, is that they sent two shoe salesmen to the same island, two different companies, two different salesmen to the same island. And after they'd been there a week, the first one called home and reported and said, please hurry up and get me out of here. There is no market for our product. These people do not wear shoes, and we're never going to make any money here. Get me out of here as soon as possible. The second guy went to the same island, saw the same people, saw the same conditions, and he sent back his message to the home office, and he said, send me everything you've got. It is a wide open market here. These people haven't heard about shoes. They're going to discover the benefit of shoes. This is the greatest opportunity that this company has ever had. And so when people are desperate for leadership, when they see a crisis, a lot of times some people are looking as an opportunity, and some people finally realize it, said, you know what, we have deteriorated as a society so badly that we are left with no other option other than turning to God. And so it describes a man turning to his brother and saying to him, you have something that we don't have. You have clothing. You be our ruler. So it's a perception versus reality, where now the qualification for a leader in this society is just this: you have something we don't have. You have clothing, we don't have it. And in reality, what they are actually crying out for is, please solve our problem. Please solve our problem. We have a ministry in the Assemblies of God. It's called Teen Challenge. It doesn't just minister to teenagers. It ministers to people of all ages, men, women, teen boys, teen girls, in different locations throughout the state for us and around the globe. And do you realize that we have had foreign governments contact that ministry, and they said this: would you please come and deal with our drug problem? Would you please come deal with our drug problem? And our leaders would talk to them and say, you do realize that this is a ministry that is about solving the drug addiction problem by introducing people to a relationship with Jesus. We are making disciples of Jesus Christ. We are making Christians through our ministry. And these people said, look, our drug problem is so bad that even though our country is opposed to Christianity, please come solve our drug problem. I want you to know, Jesus is the only one that can solve your problem. It said, and let these ruins be under your power. You know, it's so bad. It's so desolate. We're so devastated. We just want to be under your power, under your hand. Isn't it funny that where they've rejected the Lord's leadership, now they're looking for a man's hand? They're looking for a man to have power over them. And I will tell you, if you reject the leadership of God, you will soon discover what a dictator Satan really is. You will discover how good God was by having your eyes open to how bad the devil really is. And the guy goes on and he begins to protest, and he says this: I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people. He says, I do not want to be put in this position. I don't have the resources to solve the problem. I don't have the experience to solve the problem. I'm in the same predicament that you find yourself in. And if I can tell you this, man cannot solve our problems. You look in the book of Revelation and you are going to find that people are going to find the world in such a catastrophic state that's why they're going to turn to the Antichrist, and they will surrender their power, their authority, their sovereignty. They will literally put themselves under his hand, only to soon discover what a miserable place that really is. You know, Israel discovered that when they rejected the leadership of God through the prophet Samuel. And I'll be honest with you, Samuel was not a great parent. His children were making the same mistake that Eli's kids had made. And so, to a large extent, and as a result of that, the nation of Israel said, we want a king. We want to be just like everybody else. You know, I don't want to be just like everybody else. God made me to be me, and I cannot be me. I'm horrible at impersonations. I took over after a youth minister had left one time. He's a friend of mine. I became the youth pastor right on his heels. And the first night that I went into the youth group as the youth pastor, said, does anybody know what size shoe he wore? And I sold shoes, and he wore a bigger shoe than I did. And I said, you know what? I can never fill his shoes. I can only wear mine. And, you know, I've had people that wanted me to preach like this person or not preach like another person. And I found out that the person that I preach best as is as Bob Arthur's. Doesn't mean that I've stopped trying to excel, stopped trying to get better, but it does mean this: if God had wanted two of those other preachers, he would have made two of those other preachers. He wanted me to be me. He wants me to accept his leadership and allow him to operate through me, so that there is not a void of leadership. There isn't a flipping or a reversing of the roles where instead of the parents leading the children are leading the parents. Doesn't want that. He doesn't want his people led in oppression. He wants them led by the hand of God. And so today, if you're feeling overwhelmed by your problems, if you're feeling stretched or strained, I just want to encourage you today. Look to God. Look to God. Fall on your face and say, God, help me. Help me in this situation. Things that are out of order, put them back in order. I want your leadership to excel in my life. So I'm going to close today's broadcast here today. And if you are facing some serious problems, maybe there's a lack of leadership in your home. Maybe there's a lack of leadership at work. Maybe you're looking to in all the wrong places for solutions to your problem. I want to pray for you today that God will give you the victory and you will restore him to his rightful place, which is on the throne of your life, not as a ceremonial monarch like some countries have, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has redeemed you, called you by his name, and wants to lead you and guide you in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now. Lord, I pray that you would restore leadership in every area of our life. God, I pray that we would not abandon the position you've given to us and to where the inexperienced, the children, have to rise up and lead. God, I pray that our society would not be known by its oppression, but instead it would be known by its freedom. God, I pray today that we would not have our eyes look to man to solve our problems, but Lord, we would fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, and that you would bring us glory, or bring us to that place where you receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, like a summer sun with a swarm embrace,
like a gentle rain plays a sound. That's what I want my praise to be.
Like a fragrant rose in the early spring, like an eagle soars when it spreads its wings.
Whatever, Lord, you may need from me, that's what I want my praise to be. To you, everything I could give you already. Lord, I'm so unworthy, yeah. I'm just one of the millions to stand and confess, and yet still you hear me. Your heart is open wide.